Rubicon Theater Company presents the howlingly funny comedy Sylvia, about the love triangle between a couple of empty nesters and a mutt that steals their heart. Meet Sylvia. She's a dog, and she's found a new home. Greg brings home a dog, only to find that his wife, Kate, doesn't want anything to do with his new four-legged friend. Hilarity ensues as Greg and Sylvia bond, leaving Kate to feel neglected in her own home and marriage. After exploring every option, Greg must choose between the woman he loves and the sassy, adorably loyal dog that loves him unconditionally. Tickets available at Rubicon Theater Company in Ventura's Downtown Cultural District. Runs Wednesdays through Sundays, April 19th through May 7th. Call 805-667-2900, 667-2900, or go to rubicontheater.org. The DUI attorneys and expert criminal lawyers at the law offices of Douglas H. Ridley in Moore Park and Simi Valley, California, are dedicated to devoting their entire resources to defending you. As your defense attorneys, they're on your side during one of the most difficult periods in your life. Call now at no charge and sleep better tonight. It's time to get Southern California's expert team on your side with the DUI attorneys and criminal lawyers at the law offices of Douglas H. Ridley, 805-208-1866. That's 805-206-1866. Visit www.duiattorneys-ca.com for more information.
Everybody loves hot, fresh, and delicious kettle corn. One of Kim's favorites is California Kettle Corn, family owned and operated since the summer of 2007. Every golden kernel of this superior quality popping corn is American grown in the Midwest and hand popped with care in California. You can find this amazing kettle corn being freshly popped at fairs, farmers markets, local events, and at the Newberry Park Shop. Come try a truly unique kettle corn experience with high quality kernels. California Kettle Corn, hand popped and homemade. We love it and know you will too. Book your next event. Call 805-715-1500. That's 805-715-1500.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Let's get it started in here.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests. Everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back for our second hour. And, of course, we've been here since 6 o'clock, and I talked John into staying with me. And we've got another great show for you. You have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And, of course, I always start our show with inspiration. And today's is, you can accomplish by kindness what you can by force. So with that is, you know, I mean, might as well be nice doing whatever
Absolutely.
You're doing, right? Yep. There you go. Anyways, I do want to remind everyone to call us. We want to hear from all of our listeners out there. And if you have a question for any of our guests, or you want to win, or you want to just be a part of our show in any way, if you have an event or a business that you'd like to share on our show, we talk about your story and we get you business. That's what it's all about here on the Kim Pagano Show. Call us at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. I do want to remind you to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those places. Also, we have a podcast that you can listen at your own comfort and on your own time, and that is at iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show. Also, we have a newsletter that goes out every single week, and you can find out all the events that are happening, where we'll be, and who we're connected to, and more chances to win. So definitely, when you call in, Leave us your name, your number, and your email, and then one of the team members will get back with you. Tom, you want to talk about some of our great giveaways?
For today, Champagne on Main Spring Wine Walk and Street Fair that's happening this afternoon into the evening hours. So enjoy that. You could get in via Kim giving those away today. Los Angeles Zoo, we have a pair of tickets for the family. Along with that, the California Jazz and Wine Festival, April 9th, Four Seasons. Pair of tickets to go to that. The ever-popular Rubicon Theater, pair of tickets for the most popular comedy with the arrival of spring, coming in the sweet story of a love triangle between empty nesters Greg and Kate and an adorable, completely irresistible mutt who will capture the hearts of audiences throughout Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. We have Rubio's for food. The original fish taco is their mission, and that's what they do. They serve coastal food that you can feel great about eating with quality ingredients. They've been doing it for years, located in Ventura. Finally, Rolling Pin Donuts. You got to have a donut to have some fun. And that's the best in Ventura County, located in
Camarillo.
That's where you be.
There you go. And let's just start off with that. We've got a dozen Rolling Pin Donuts, and I'm telling you, they are the best.
There's only 10 now.
You already ate them all.
I ate two.
Okay, there you go. And I think you get an extra one, don't you? Is that like a, what is that, a baker's dozen? Yeah, there you go. Anyways, I want to tell you about my amazing guests that we're going to be joining us today. We've got Grant Leboff, and of course, his book, which I can't wait to tell him, but Digital Selling. But oh my God, I love the way his book feels. I don't know what it is, but I love that. This is what I want my book to feel like. Also, we've got Leonard Perlmutter, and we're going to talk about the heart and the and science of yoga. And then lastly, we've got Linda and Charlie Bloom with their book, Happily Ever After. I think we're talking about relationships here, right? Yeah, there you go. See, I always think all the right people show up, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I love my guests. And again, if you're just tuning in, waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way, we're here from 6 to 8 every Saturday. Let's bring our first guest on. Grant, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Kim. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Good.
Well.
Are you from London?
Yeah, I'm from London.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm in London now and I'm from London. Yeah.
Great. All my family's from there. I love it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I love the way your book feels.
Thank you. Yeah. I've got to say that's the publisher. I'm responsible for the content inside, but they... They packaged it up nicely, so credit to them.
Yeah, I'm serious. So what is that? Is that like a different material or something?
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's like a matte thing that's going on there. Yeah, you're right. It's got a nice filter. I'm not 100% sure what they use, but it does have a nice sort of glossy feel.
Wow. Absolutely. All right. So tell us a little bit about your book. And is this your first one?
Oh, this is my fourth book actually.
Oh, wow.
Digital Selling. Yeah, so I've written a few now, but Digital Selling is really there to enable people to use the social media and the web more effectively for themselves and for their businesses to generate inquiries to get more business.
So, are you talking about like Facebook or what social?
Yeah, so we're talking about everything that we'd include digital. So that will be the web. You're absolutely right. It's social media and platforms such as Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Twitter. If you've got a blog, any of those kind of digital channels that we all have and can use today to get ourselves out there, to promote ourselves and be more effective.
So what would you say are the three essential steps to a strong online identity?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
And having a strong identity is so important because you'll know this, Kim, but today everybody owns a media channel.
Right.
And when you own a media channel, it forces you to take a position because if you don't stand for something, you just kind of disappear into the ether of all the other information that's out there.
That's true.
So it's really important to take a strong position. And we say there are three things that you need to do. The first one is have a strong ethos.
Say that again.
A strong ethos, a strong purpose. So your
business got it. Yep.
Can't simply be about making money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's okay to make money, but there's got to be more to it than that because it won't attract people. People aren't interested about how much money you make. It's got to be something bigger.
Right.
And we always, one of the examples in the book is when Bill Gates started Microsoft back in 1977, his vision was a computer on every desk and in every home. Now, in 1977, that was kind of crazy, and it was a great vision. It was something that people got excited about. And you can imagine, if you're a programmer for Microsoft in the late 70s, you weren't just typing in numbers. You were there to try and achieve a computer on every desk in every home. It was invigorating. It was exciting.
Wow.
People wanted to be a part of it. And that's one of the keys to having a strong identity, that purpose.
I love that.
So the second part is a strong value proposition. And what we mean by that is, do you understand exactly what you're going to deliver for the customer? Do you understand exactly what they're going to get? And you've got to be able to articulate that real fast, because, you know, people's attention online, they'll give you a few seconds at best. And if you don't catch their attention, they'll move on. So what can you say in a few words that's a deliverable to the customer or to your prospect, which will say, you know, I want to stay here and stick around and have a look and see what there is? So that's absolutely key to get someone to stick and to be able to engage with them. And then the third part is what we call the emotional proposition. And this is one that people often miss. But one of my favorite quotes is by a behavioral psychologist called Antonio Damasio. And he said this. He said, human beings are feeling machines that can think, but we're not thinking machines that feel. In other words, primarily we're feeling machines. We're emotional beings.
Right.
And therefore, if you don't understand emotionally what you're delivering to your customer, you're going to miss something. For example, do you sell candles or romance? And if you understand that you sell romance, what does that mean for the images you use, the colors you use, the language that you use?
Okay. I like it. I do want to remind anybody that just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And, of course, we're talking with Grant LaBoff, and we're talking about digital selling. I mean, that is just the way of the future. I mean, like you just said, I love that. We all have media channels. And what are you producing on those media channels, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I say to people, and it's really, really important that, you know, in a world where we all have media channels, every single person today is a media personality. And what we mean by that, we don't mean famous. People always confuse the two. So, of course, we're not all famous, but we're all media personalities. And what I want to mean is that years ago, people wouldn't be able to form an opinion about you unless they met you, because really and truly, possibly spoke to you on the phone. But those were really the only two ways we could interact properly with people. But today, before you meet anybody in business, if you're dating, anything, you'll go online, you'll Google them, you'll look on Facebook, you'll check them out. And depending on what their picture looks like, what they've said about themselves, you'll form an opinion about them.
Wow.
And so in our own lives, we are media personalities, because we are building our reputations, and people are thinking about us way before we get in a room and meet them. And, you know, people really have to understand that, because you can use that to your advantage, but of course, that can also work against you if you don't use it in the right way.
Right. And it's interesting. I've got four children, and I always said one of my sons, I said it to all of them, but one of my sons was sponsored. He was a racer. And I said, you know, be careful what you put out there, because that is forming an opinion, and your sponsors are going to take that very seriously. It's just like when you go to college, right? They look at, you know, are you a partier? Are they going to take your time to, you know, invest in you? Those are all things that you put out there. So you got to be careful what you put on the internet.
Absolutely. And the problem is that, you know, you talk about stars and the famous people, they've got PR advisors and all sorts of people advising them about their reputation and what they should say. And, you know, the average person out there, their reputation is as important to their career, their job prospects and everything else that it is to everybody else. But we don't all have those millions of advisors, right, around us helping us. So you just got to, be careful and think about it really, you know, really, really carefully before you post stuff online.
I'm curious, Grant. This is John, and I'm wondering, with the amount of choices that are out there for people, you have to capture attention. You have to get people to stop and look. And have we come to a point now where the only way you're going to get people to do that is to have some sort of fake image? That's what I think happens, because people are afraid that the normal image isn't going to have people stop and look.
Yeah, I understand. I understand exactly what you mean. I think that does happen. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You're right. That does happen. I don't think it has to happen. I think this is what people really need to think about. who are the audience that I really want to communicate with? You know, are they my if it's just in your social life, is it just for my colleagues and friends? If you're in business, who are the key people that I need to speak with? What do my key customers look like? And really, you want to play to that audience. Because, you know, to be really successful in life, we all know this, you don't need 100% of people to love you. You certainly don't want 100% of people to not care at all. But what you want is you want a few percent of people to really love you.
To really
to
care.
To really, really love what you do and to really care. And so you have to understand, who is that audience that I'm speaking with? And then you can start to understand, what can I do for them that will really add value? What can I do for them that they'll find really interesting? And it doesn't actually matter if the other 98% of the planet aren't interested. If the 2% you want to talk to are, then you'll be able to engage with them. So you really have to think about that carefully.
Yeah, very good.
I like that. Now, I always ask this. You said this is your fourth book. Is that what you said?
That's right, yes.
What are your first three books?
Yeah, so my first book was called Sales Therapy, mm-hmm. which was really about the way that we have to change our selling habits in a world where customers are more empowered and more knowledgeable and have more access to information. And then I had two books that kind of go together. So I wrote a book called Sticky Marketing, which is just what it says, really. It's about how to make your marketing stick and have impact.
Mm-hmm.
And that book did pretty well. So the publisher asked me to write a follow-up, and that's called Stickier Marketing.
Oh, I love those. Please send those to me because I'd love to have you back.
Yeah, no, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, we'll go backwards, but I like it.
Thank you very much. No, that'd be my pleasure. Thank
you. So let me ask you, everybody is about having how many people they have on Facebook or how many followers. What is the best way to engage people to like your page? And is that something that you deal with?
Yeah, absolutely. And the key is this, all right? It's to give people value. It's, you know, it's what you've got to be really clear about when you're doing stuff on Facebook, especially for a commercial venture. It's not about you. It's about your customers. What can I do to make the customers feel great? I mean, you do that with your listeners, right, Kim?
Correct.
It's about the listener. You know, what can I give them? What are they going to be interested in? What's going to make their day? What's going to be useful? And that's how you need to approach your social media, your Facebook, your Instagram. You know, what are people going to be interested in? What can I tell them that will give them value, that will help them in their lives, that will help their day? And again, this goes back to knowing that audience. And then the other thing, which is really, really key, which I think people miss, I mean, you and John won't be in media, but people miss it. Media works on narrative. It works on stories. So when you want to give value to people on your Facebook page or your Instagram or whatever, dress it up in a story. What's the story I can tell? Whether it's the story of my day or the story of my product or the story of my service or the story of the way it's going to help you. Tell a story, because we all love stories and we all love narratives. It's memorable. And the key in social media, it's shareable.
Right.
And
therefore
it spreads.
I love that. That's really what we do here. We tell your story, and that's why people love that. So what does it take to capture a customer's attention today?
So for me, it's a number of things. The first thing is to have a really strong sense of who you are and your identity, mm-hmm. you know, why you're doing what you're doing, knowing that what that emotional hook is, because primarily you'll get people emotionally before you get them logically, right?
Mm.
They just like, you know, we all like things. I just like the look of that, or that just feels right. Or you've got to get people to really understand emotionally, and that means, you know, a lot of visuals. You know, the web is full of video and pictures before it is words, so a lot of visuals to capture people's attention that way. And then really think about what's the takeaway for the customer or for the person that's going to visit this page. Because if there's no tangible takeaway for them, they'll probably click off and they certainly won't come back.
I like that. Okay. And so what's the takeaway for them? Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How do I say this? I think they're for I am. So how do you, there was a question here that you had said, why is Descartes wrong when he said?
Yeah, Descartes' error. Well, because, you know, he said that we are all logical and rational human beings, that we do everything rationally and logically.
Anything but true.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's not true at all. What we tend to do is we just behave with, most of the time, I mean, all human beings have what we call System 1 and System 2 thinking. System 1 is the gut feel. It's just what we do. system two is logic, and virtually everything we do as human beings is system one thinking, and then we justify it with logic afterwards. Normally, we sort of justify the behavior after it happens. And therefore, what I say to people, and this is especially true if you're in business to business, because often people treat business to business like, you know, it's completely logical, every decision's extremely rational, and of course, it's still human beings, even if they're in a business environment. And therefore, you have to make sure that everything you do connects on an emotional level. It's not just a question of listing the benefits or the reasons why someone should use your product or service and expect them to read the 10 lists. Like, oh, yeah, this is great. I'm going to do it. So unless you connect people with visual and, you know, social media, the key to the second word, it's media. It is media. It's the way media works. You've got to take people emotionally. You've got to make them feel. You've got to tell a story. You know, really, you're writing the script of your own play. And you've got to think of it like that. And if you miss that, people just won't engage with you at all.
Wow, I love that. Where do we find your book, Grant?
Yeah, my book's available in all good bookshops, on all the key portals you'd expect, like Amazon.com. And you can also, if you go to my own website, which is stickymarketing.com, there's hyperlinks, and that will take you to other places you can purchase the book.
Great. And awesome. Give us last one. What's the biggest tip that you could give us?
Yeah, put yourself in your customer's shoes.
I love
Always think in terms of your customer.
Okay, very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Please share our show, and you can download our podcast on iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show and share it with all of your contacts.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. Thanks, John.
You got it. And send me your other books, Grant, so we can get you back on.
I will do. Thank you very
much. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. We are going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Leonard Perlmutter, and we're going to be talking about the heart and science of yoga. And let's give something away. How about some Rubicon tickets? And, of course, they've got a great family and comedy show going on right now. And Sylvia is the name. I've got tickets for you. Call in right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And, again, leave us your name, your number, and your email, and one of our team members will get back with you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ventura County's Mortgage Couch strives to identify the best wholesale lender for their clients. Their ultimate goal is to help families move into their dream home, fix their home, and refinance their home. Whether you're looking for the best possible terms or a specific lender to accommodate a unique situation, Mortgage Couch has the resources and expertise to meet every need. Apply for your loan today. Please call 805-676-0377. That's 805-676-0377. Or visit their website at www.mortgagecouch.com. Mark your calendars for the 6th Annual California Jazz and Wine Fest on Sunday, April 9th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Four Seasons Hotel in Westlake Village. One ticket price gives you access to live jazz on two stages all afternoon and tasting from over 80 of your favorite wineries, craft breweries, distilleries, and local eateries. Presented by Rotary Club of Westlake Village, proceeds will benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Conejo Valley and other 501c3 charities. The California Jazz and Wine Fest attracts 1,500 attendees, and last year the fest sold out. So hurry to purchase your tickets. Go to www.californiajazzwine.com. And for more information, call 805-380-6010. That's 805-380-6010.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. ever give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
As you embark on the process to acquire a home or refinance an existing home, choosing the right mortgage professional to guide you through the process is essential. With over 40 years in the mortgage industry, Michael Blasser can help you achieve the dream of home ownership or greater home affordability. Experience matters in today's ever-increasing complexity of the lending process. Primary Residential Mortgage, a nationally ranked top 10 mortgage banker where the primary focus is you. For more information, call 805-367-3117. That's 805-367-3117. Or visit mikeforloans.com. NMLS number 248433.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Our next guest, Leonard Perlmutter, and of course he's got this beautiful book too, The Heart and Science of Yoga, and of course Empowering Self-Care Program for a Happy, Healthy, Joyful Life. Leonard, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How
Thank
are
you?
You?
I'm well.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started the American Meditation Institute in 1996. I started meditating in approximately 1977. So I've been studying and practicing and now teaching for many years.
Wow, you were like ahead of the game.
Ahead of the curve, right.
You really were, you know.
That's the story of my life.
There you go, see?
It's okay. The wave catches up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's been a wonderful journey and very rewarding. And
has it changed your life in a lot of ways?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Has yoga personally changed your life in a lot of ways?
Oh, so many. I could never even imagine the person that I am today.
Really?
Until it started happening.
Now, how often do you do yoga? Do you do it, I mean, is it obviously it's a way of your life, but do you do it 7 days a week? Do you do it twice a day?
Well, that depends on what you mean by yoga.
Okay.
Okay, because what we're talking about is the science of yoga, which contains the physical postures, yes, but it's much broader. It contains, it's primarily about the mind.
Wow.
Okay, because even physical postures are about the mind.
As you just made me sit up straight, thank you.
So, well, it's about the relationship between the mind and the body. It's one holistic organism. And so when you ask how often do I practice, I try to practice every minute of every day.
I like that. Okay.
Unless, of course, you know, I'm hijacked by some old concept or
Well, you know, emotion. as Leonard, as you say that, hijacked, because somebody said the other day that you need to protect your body and your mind and your soul from other people when they're going through their hard times. Because so many times if you're, you know, one of those, you know, people like I am, I guess, I give my heart and soul, and you can't do that every time because then you feel like, oh God, I just got ran over again. Now I got to pick myself up, you know? So it is really like making sure that you don't get hijacked, correct?
That's right. And, the more that you do the practice, the more that you meditate, the more that you practice meditation in action, including hatha yoga, you know, exercises, more and more you create a new global skill. You create a new paradigm for yourself. You recognize that you have a body, but you're not the body. You recognize that you have a mind, you have a personality, you have habit patterns, and yet you are not them. And at our core, we are essentially pure consciousness, wisdom, and bliss, having a human experience through a mind-body-sense complex. And the more that we remember who we are, then we can use the mind to access superconscious wisdom from the center of consciousness. This superconscious wisdom is the same portion of the mind where Albert Einstein saw mathematical equations and Paul McCartney hears beautiful melodies.
Wow, I
love
that.
Doesn't mean that I'm going to become a songwriter. Doesn't mean that you're going to become a physicist. But what it does mean is that the more that we can create a metaphoric bridge in our life, we call it yoga, but you can call it anything, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, every human being needs to create a metaphoric bridge that helps them, inspires them to base outer actions on inner wisdom. And the more we can do that, we're enabled to fulfill the purpose of our life without pain, misery, or bondage.
Wow. That
sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a good deal. And so I've been experimenting with it, you know, day by day.
Wow. So how can how can the bridge of yoga always lead you to your highest and greatest good?
Well, the bridge of yoga is a philosophy, but it is also a science that teaches us that we cannot take an action unless and until there's a movement in the mind. So if I asked you to raise your right hand over your head, you would think that that would be an easy thing for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if I asked you to raise your right hand over your head without first entertaining a thought, it would be impossible.
Wow, very interesting.
Can you try that? Just try to raise your right hand without entertaining a thought.
No, because
right?
No, you can't.
It's your thought that empowers the muscles and the contraction of the muscles.
Brilliant.
In a certain way.
Right.
So what that means is that before there's an action that takes place, and remember Newton's third law of motion, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. So for every action, something happens. It can either lead you to happiness and health and security, or it can delay the prospect and bring pain and dis-ease.
Mm-hmm.
But before I can take any of those actions, whether they're thoughts or words or deeds, I first have to entertain a thought. And that thought will either lead me in one direction or the other. So how do I know if that thought is something I should speak about? How do I know whether that thought is something I should act on? And that's a beautiful question, because human beings, unlike every other animal, have a portion of our mind that can access the superconscious portion of the mind. And the superconscious portion of the mind that lies beyond the conscious and beyond the unconscious, that superconscious portion of the mind contains an intuitive library of wisdom. And that intuitive library of wisdom will tell us 24/7 what is the thought to think, what is the word to speak, what is the action to take that will always lead me for my highest and greatest good.
Wow, I love that. Now, what are the 8 different yoga science steps that prepare you to lead a life of a daily bliss?
Well, traditional yoga science, classical yoga science, lists them in ascending order. So first there are something called the yamas and niyamas. These are disciplines and restraints that regulate our external relationships with other people, as well as designed to organize our own personal daily lives. So, for example, the highest principle of all of yoga is a concept called ahimsa, which really means non-injury, non-harming, non-violence. So in every relationship, if we can act non-injuriously in thought, word, and deed, the promise is we're always going to be led for our highest and greatest good.
Hmm.
And be able to fulfill the purpose of our life without pain, misery, or bondage. Now remember, I'm not asking you or anybody else to believe me. This is a science. You can verify the truth and you can refute the truth. So I'm not asking people to believe me. I'm asking, are you curious enough to become a yoga scientist and experiment and see how, by not acting injuriously in thought, word, or deed, your life can become poetry and so on? This is what has happened to me.
Wow. So what did you do before that? What did you do before this, Leonard?
Well, I originally I went to school. I was going to become the Secretary of State.
Okay.
Okay. That didn't work out. And then I was going to become an international lawyer. And that didn't work out. It was my father's dream, but it wasn't my dream.
I'm glad you didn't do that.
Yeah, I was glad that I didn't do it. And so I started a newspaper. I became a newspaper publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And I married this woman who was my best friend and my conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And was my editorial illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And we became kindred spirits. And we began meditating and studying. And now today.
And now it's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
I love it. I love your story. Wow. And what a great, there's some like major information for anybody that is interested in yoga and really just empowering your self-care. This is a whole program for happy, healthy, joyful life, correct?
It truly is.
This is actually your second edition, so you already have one before this, correct?
Yes, but this has really been expanded and revised because I'm learning all the time.
Well, we all are, right? I mean, that's what, yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what I saw, 10, 12 years ago is entirely different from the way I see today because I'm constantly trying to cleanse my vision. It's interesting. Our perceptions are skewed by our conceptions. So these concepts that we have in our mind, in the unconscious portion of the mind, they determine what we see in the world. So we don't really see the world. We see a projection of our own mind.
Wow, yeah. That's totally crazy. John, I know you had
I know you talked about meditation, and meditation is so broad, and a lot of people think it has to be cross-legged on the floor and hands out, palms up.
Not so.
What is the best way for somebody who thinks that they can't do meditation to get that to be a real big part of their life? Because I look at it as meditation as being I focus on a positive thing, and then I stay there for a little while. That's kind of how I look at meditation.
All right, let me put this on the table for you. My first experience with meditation was when I was 9 years old. And you know what I was doing?
No.
I was falling in love with Elvis Presley.
You and my mom.
Okay. So for 2 minutes and 30 seconds, when I was listening to an Elvis Presley song, this kid, Lenny Perlmutter, was having joy. Was just there was nothing that could wreck his day. Okay.
I get that feeling too, because you know when you, like music takes you back to that place, or food takes you back to that place.
Yeah.
Those are like kind of you're just in that moment.
But you know what meditation teaches you is that you don't need to go back to that moment. Okay. Every human being has these peak experiences. It might be Elvis Presley for somebody. For somebody else, it might be eating a chocolate ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a trip to Vegas. Mm-hmm. It could be a beautiful man or a beautiful woman or a wonderful child or a great book or a fabulous movie. We all have these experiences, and something happens in those experiences, and it's different for everybody, but when it happens, the energy of the mind is automatically focused on one object to the exclusion of everything else.
Yep.
And it creates a bliss and a fullness, which is actually a reflection of our essential nature.
Wow, I love that.
So meditation teaches us that we don't need these external objects, which are constantly changing.
Mm.
They're coming, or going. You know, it's that.
Right. Leonard, I know you talk.
Great science.
Yeah, you talk in your book about self-care.
Yes.
And so I really feel like the body can really, hopefully heal a lot of things, correct?
Well, I would say that it is the nature of the body to be in health. Okay? And so what creates disease and pain is conflict in the mind.
Mm.
So if my thoughts, my words, and my actions conflict with my inner wisdom, there's a contraction in the mind.
Wow.
And if there's a contraction in the mind, it means that there is a contraction in the consciousness of every cell. So if the cells if the consciousness of the cells of your liver is constantly reacting to the conflict in the mind, then the liver is going to take the shape of a closed fist as opposed to an open hand.
That's really interesting.
If the consciousness of the liver were shaped like an open hand, it could receive energy, it could operate at 100% efficiency. But if it is constantly reacting to fear and anger and selfish desires that conflict with inner wisdom, then there's going to be a contraction in the consciousness of every cell of the liver, and it's going to compromise its effectiveness.
So it makes sense. Leonard, where are you located?
We're located in upstate New York.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah. How do we find your book?
Pardon?
How do we find your book?
How do I sign the book?
No, how do we find your book? Where do we get it?
Well, that's a great question.
We want everybody to get one of these in their
hand. That's very nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's at Amazon.com. It's at all Barnes & Noble, all fine booksellers. And if it's not in the store, they'll order it. And the American Meditation Institute has a website. The address is americanmeditation.org. We're a nonprofit organization, so it's americanmeditation.org. And people can get the book. And also, the book was turned into a 5.5-hour video for folks that would prefer to learn through a video.
Okay, I love that.
And so that's at americanmeditation.org.
Well, you know what?
Video.
I would love to talk to you again because this was so interesting, yeah. And I know we just barely tipped on it. So please, you know what? One, if you could send me the beginning of your book, too, so we can have you back. And definitely share my show with everyone because I love what you're doing.
Do you not have a copy of the book?
I have the second, but I don't have the first.
Okay.
I don't
okay.
know if that makes a difference.
Okay. I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. I love it. Leonard, again, thank you so much. And also, since you're so far, you can listen to my show on my website or my podcast, and that's on iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show.
Okay.
All
that's
right.
a good deal.
Leonard, thank you
thank
so
you.
Much. This was
very
really
good.
Enlightening.
Thank you, both of you. Thank you very much.
All right. You have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
All right, we are going to take a really quick break, and then I've got another amazing couple that's going to talk to us. And, of course, we're talking about Happily Ever After. That's Linda and Charlie Bloom. And, again, their book is all about 39 other myths about love. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Rubicon Theater Company presents the howlingly funny comedy Sylvia, about the love triangle between a couple of empty nesters and a mutt that steals their heart. Meet Sylvia. She's a dog, and she's found a new home. Greg brings home a dog, only to find that his wife, Kate, doesn't want anything to do with his new four-legged friend. Hilarity ensues as Greg and Sylvia bond, leaving Kate to feel neglected in her own home and marriage. After exploring every option, Greg must choose between the woman he loves and the sassy, adorably loyal dog that loves him unconditionally. Tickets available at Rubicon Theater Company in Ventura's Downtown Cultural District. Runs Wednesdays through Sundays, April 19th through May 7th. Call 805-667-2900, 667-2900, or go to RubiconTheater.org. Ventura Water is dedicated to providing our community with quality water and wastewater services 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We've been delivering drinking water from local sources since 1923, cleaning wastewater for more than a century, and preventing stormwater pollution for the past two decades. Ventura Water, a trusted life source for generations. For more information about Ventura Water, visit us at www.venturawater.net or call 805-667-6500. That's 805-667-6500.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. Wow, we have had amazing guests. Of course, we always do. I'm very partial to my guests. I do want to remind everyone to get out to the Champagne on Main. And, of course, that's the Spring Wine Walk and Street Fair. And, of course, that's happening today from 11 to 6:30 on Main Street. And we've given away lots of tickets to that. And then tomorrow, come on over to the California Jazz and Wine Festival. And, of course, that's over at the Four Seasons. I've got one more pair of tickets that I can give away. So call in right now at 805-419-0008. And I'm going to be over there. Please stop by and say hello. All right, our next guest, Linda and Charlie Bloom. And, of course, their book, Happily Ever After and 39 Other Myths About Love. Uh-oh, does that mean Happily Ever After isn't really true? Uh-oh. Linda and Charlie, are you there?
We're here.
How
and
are
it
you?
It's true, but there's some dues that has to be paid to be able to live happily together.
Oh, I like
love is not enough.
Okay, so I like that.
Start, but some skills will really help.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Well, in just a matter of several months, we will be together 50 years.
Wow! Congratulations.
Bravo. And we're. I'm very proud of what we've been able to create, and it hasn't always been an easy time for us. We had some difficulty when we were young and dumb and inexperienced and filled with romantic myths.
Okay.
And I had to get over myself about the happily ever after and realize that I had to grow up and mature.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband, Charlie, thinks we should get the trophy for the most improved because we're really enjoying our relationship now.
Well, isn't that, I do think it's funny because my husband and I are going to be married 33 years. And same thing, we had some really good times and some really bad times and hard times, I would say. And, it's like you could give up. Then you have to start all over. I always just say the grass is greener on the other side till the weeds come out, right?
Yeah.
But then, if you can kind of get through it, we were like, okay, how can we do this bigger and better than the last, each time? Like, I feel like we kind of married each other again. And it's another new relationship because once you kind of hit that part where you just don't see eye to eye, and then you have to kind of regroup again. Do you agree?
Yeah.
What?
I'm listening. I'm here too.
Okay.
I can really relate to everything that you just said. Particularly, the piece about if you are one of those people who is fortunate enough to get to the point where you really do realize what you said, which is that we don't work this out here, it's just going to come up again with somebody else.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's going to be even harder then because we won't have the history.
Exactly. I'm like, we have 3 grandchildren and 4 children. And I thought, I don't want any other woman enjoying my family that I worked so hard for.
Yeah,
I was a little selfish on that one. But you know what? I mean, we were just talking to another amazing book. In fact, I said we're probably we're talking about relationships, which I love to talk about it. But It Takes One to Tangle. And she said how I rescued my marriage with no help from my spouse, a lot of times we have to just say, sorry, buddy, you're not getting out of here.
Yep.
We're going to get through this because, sometimes it's better to be happy than right.
That's one of the myths, is that you can be right and have a great relationship.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are caught in that one and they don't really understand that there is no such thing as winning an argument. That if one person wins at the other person's expense, whoa, do you pay for that?
Yeah, that's not a good
trust
win.
Trust goes down, the intimacy goes down, the tension level goes up. And so you have to stay in dialogue with a spirit of goodwill and negotiate in good faith to get your needs met in a way that both people feel like they're winning or else both end up losing.
I love that. What do you think is top number one on your list for relationships?
Well, one of the things that caught me in so much trouble in the early years that we were together, and I never even questioned it, is the myth of mind reading.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one, yeah.
The myth goes, if he really loved me,
right,
he would know what I needed, and he would give it to me, and I wouldn't have to ask him.
Right.
And I went around feeling so deprived and sort of irritable and sad and resentful for a long time until I had the realization that, you know, even if he loves me, even if he loves me a lot, that he doesn't have the ability to mind read. I actually believe that there's some people who have it, but most of us ordinary folks don't have ESP. And so to get vulnerable and to be willing to stick it out there and to say, you know, I'm really feeling like I want more touch. I need more hugs. I would love to kiss goodnight. I want to cuddle you more, hold hands when we walk. I'm touchaholic. So those are the things that I was craving. And, you know, Charlie just was assuming no news was good news. I told him some of the things that I wanted. He was happy to come across with it. And so when I got past that myth, my life really improved a lot.
Right. And Charlie, so you're not a touchy-feely person, right?
Not by nature. I'm kind of slowly learning to be more of one now.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I'm not the touchy-feely. My husband is, okay? And that's interesting. And so we actually had Gary Chapman on my show, the Five Love Languages. And I realized afterwards what his language was and what mine was, and his is touching. And so you have to know all those kind of things because that's something, obviously, like you, Linda, you were missing it, correct?
I was really missing it, and I was withering on the vine, and I was so sad and unnecessarily so.
And Charlie had probably no idea.
Charlie came across.
There you go. Exactly. That's interesting. And yeah, because I had no idea. I'm like, my house is clean. Everything's good. What's,
what's the problem?
What's the problem? So I love that. John had mentioned something in our earlier show that so many people give up on their marriages nowadays. You know, it's kind of like, how did you call it?
I call it the Bic lighter mentality. When it's empty, you just chuck it and go get another one.
Yeah, that is the consciousness that is quite a bit more prevalent now than it was when we were a lot younger.
Right.
The idea that everything, and that includes relationships, everything is disposable.
Correct.
I love that analogy that you just made, that, you know, when you're out of fluid, you just chuck it and buy another one.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is a perfect metaphor, I think, for the way so many people look at relationships and even marriage.
Yeah. And when you mentioned earlier something about the grass is greener on the other side, somebody said it.
I did.
And
yeah.
I was thinking that's because maybe you should start watering your side.
Probably
not watering your own side. That's why.
This is so true. My mom used to say, you know, we all spend so much time when we're at work making like the best, working really hard to be your best at whatever you're doing. And you come home and you're like, oh, okay, good, I'm home.
Yeah.
No, that's really where you need to start your work.
Exactly.
And, you know, so.
Exactly. But so many people really give their best at work. And so when they come home, there ain't nothing left.
Exactly. And they're wiped out by the time. Now, myth 10 kind of interests me. Time heals all wounds. What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of people buy into that. And when there is a difficulty, whether it's a difficulty in life or a difficulty in relationship, they have the attitude, if they buy into this myth, is just wait it out. And it's going to handle itself. And, of course, there is a self-soothing mechanism that will, over time, help us. But we're from the school of thought of being much more proactive and taking more responsibility.
Right. Don't let it get out of hand.
If you have pain and suffering, if you have angst about something, not to harbor it, not to withhold, to conceal rather than reveal, and to speak about whatever's laying heavily on your heart. Because you often can get the kind of support, the kind of listening, that they can hold the sadness and the frustration, whatever it is, with you, and you can hasten the healing. It's like salve on the wounds when somebody brings their empathy and their compassion to your whatever it is that's bothering you.
Right. You know, I think this is so, a lot of people don't think with their feelings, and I think that that's so hard. They're like, oh, my feelings aren't, you know, I'm not going to share what's going on in my life, especially, and I don't want to say this, but more men than women. Women, you know, put their, you know, personalities in their life right on their arm, right? But, you know, that's a big thing. It's like, you know, I'm kind of feeling a little left out here, mm-hmm. or I really need to talk, or don't you think that's the biggest thing?
Yes. Well, vulnerability is one of our key teachings.
Oh.
And people are often closeted and they don't talk about it. And I agree with you that men tend to be a little bit more silent than women.
Right.
But women do it too.
Right.
And they hope it'll go away. And it's quite destructive over time. All these things that are incomplete and unaddressed, they can mount up to a large pile and they can come avalanching down on you.
There you go.
We've heard that a couple
you know
times.
What, Linda, Charlie, I'm so sorry. We are out of time. I'm going to have you back because this is such a great topic, and I'm so sorry. But where do we find your book?
The book is in bookstores all over the place. If they're out of them, they'll get them in just a few days.
Okay.
You can go on Amazon. Sometimes people like inscribed copies.
Okay.
So you come to our website and you can purchase them then.
Great.
And we can mail them to you.
Perfect. I'm going to have you guys back.
They can see all the things that we offer.
Okay.
Counseling, blogs.
We have to end right now, and I appreciate you both being a guest here on our show. Of course, we end all of our shows with a moment of happiness. I like to always do that. Patience is conquering virtue. Linda and Charlie, thank you so much. John, thank you so
Absolutely.
Much for being a guest.
Very
Tom,
fun. Very fun.
And all of our listeners out there, I hope I see you at all of our great events this weekend, and I look forward to talking to you next week. And again, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.